Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other Internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is March 14th, 2008. And now, let me present to you from 3 to 3:30, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and thanks so much. Hi to everybody out there. I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. I'm originator of The Enchanted Self, which is a method of looking at yourself and the world to enhance happiness and positive feelings and thoughts. And I have been having a show on this station for about a year called Happiness for Women Only. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show, and many, many times I've had the opportunity to co-host it with Martha Trowbridge, who is an inspirational writer for women and has done a great deal of work with battered and abused women. And many, many times I've had other guests, including Dr. Sandra Prince Embrary, resiliency expert, and authors from a number of new positive books that have come out in the past year. During this time, I have also been writing and publishing a new mini-series of books. The first book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, has been geared to adult women so that they can take a look at themselves through the eyes of a 10 to 11-year-old girl and get back in touch with their most authentic selves, their fun selves, and the wisdom that they may have left behind in the hurly-burly of multitasking and growing older. This book, of course, can be read by any girl who is reasonably sophisticated, probably 10, 11, 12, and up, and many girls have read it and really, really enjoyed it. However, in the course of publishing that book, I realized that I wanted to have a very special edition for tweens, for girls, and of course boys, but more likely a girl's going to pick it up between about the ages of 8 and 14. And so I came out with another edition called The Truth. I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything, which is now up on Amazon, as are both books. And, of course, can be found in any bookstore, too. The purpose of the girls' edition is that it gave me an opportunity to put in questions specifically for girls, an introduction just for girls, and a way to help girls authenticate and stay true to what is most special and wonderful about them. Having done that, it seemed to me that I should give a few months to donate, so to speak, my time and efforts on this wonderful radio station, Internet Voices Radio, to focus on kids, tweens, and teens. And then we can come back in a few months, maybe to everybody, of course. Maybe we'll even branch out to men, who knows? So this is my transitional show. It's still at the old time. My new time will be starting on Mondays, 4:30 Eastern Daylight Time. And so as I said, this is my last show with that sort of has both titles. So to celebrate this show, I wanted to have someone really special, and the universe sent that person to me. I can't believe how serendipitously this all happened. I got an email that introduced me to the young teenage girl that I'm now going to tell you about. My guest today is Ms. Sandra Clark. She has a wonderful website at sandraclark.com, and she is the author of many books, perhaps five, she'll tell us exactly. She's just published a new book. I think her latest book is You Can Change Your World. Some of her other books are You've Got What It Takes and Craft Times with Sandra. Sandra is really a noted author at this point, having begun her writing around 8 years of age, and she'll tell us some of that story. And how best to transition from women to kids, tweens, and teens than to have on this show a noted author who can give us insights out of, you know, the edge of really not into adulthood. You're in your teenage years, but you're wise beyond your years. So it's just going to be so much fun to talk. Welcome, Sandra.
Well, thank you for having me on.
I'm thrilled to have you on. And tell us a little bit about yourself and your story.
Well, when I was 8 years old, my mom's written several books, and I just sort of thought it was normal to write books. I didn't realize that not everyone wrote books. And so I asked her when I was 8 years old if I could write a book, and she said, sure. But the one thing she told me was write about what you know. And as an 8-year-old girl, I knew a lot about arts and crafts. And so I wrote my first book on arts and crafts, and then I kind of saw, hey, you know, it's actually possible to write a book and actually achieve a dream of mine. And so I wrote my second book, which is Wearable Art with Sandra. And then kind of in an evolution from that, you know, I was starting to see, hey, you know, I set a huge goal for myself of writing a book. And then I did, like, little steps to reach it. And then I found those skills, and I found how receptive adults were to helping me once I showed that initiative. And so then I started speaking at different places, different schools and organizations about, you know, hey, yeah, kids can actually make a difference. And then kind of from that, I started writing some teen self-help books, like preteen self-help books, and also kind of incorporated with that, I think that volunteering is really important. So I've also written some books on volunteering within that.
All right, so let me take you back in time. You said your first book was around crafts, which apparently you were doing at age 8, so that was a very wholesome place to start. What were some of the crafts that you talked about in that book?
Oh, I mean, it's just fun crafts that any kid can do. I mean, there's a really fun craft called the birdhouse boot, which is where you take an old boot and make it into a birdhouse. Or there's a craft called the squawking chicken, which is where you take an old, like a plastic cup and put a string down the middle, and then you tie a piece of cloth to the bottom and it makes like a squawking chicken noise, and you can decorate it and stuff. So just like fun things like that. I really wanted to do crafts that weren't necessarily, you know, like when you get older, you start getting like maybe like beading books or scrapbooking books where it's like exactly get this paper, use this color, use this embroidery. Where I kind of wanted to give kids a wide range of, you know, you can do whatever you want with this. Here's the basis of what you do, but you have your own decision to make and decorate it whatever way you want.
I love that, and I think that's such an important fundamental that oftentimes little kids are given so many restrictions that they have to work within the lines and it has to be a certain size. And what happens is that they lose that sense that their own creative urges are really authentic.
Yeah, and I think it definitely gives kids sort of that self-confidence when they go, hey, you know, my birdhouse is different than your birdhouse, but I still like mine for what it is.
Right, right. So that was your first book. And then you said the second was around painting clothing or go ahead.
It's called Wearable Art with Sandra, and it's crafts that you can make and wear. So it's like making barrettes or finding out how to decorate your shoelaces or making cool T-shirts that you can wear.
So again, there would be a lot of open-end creative processing as kids did that, whichever way suited them.
Yeah, definitely.
That's fun. Have you had the opportunity and the pleasure to see what kids create when they do your stuff?
Yeah, I do a lot of things. I've traveled to a lot of foreign countries and done craft projects with the kids, and I do a lot of, you know, camps locally. They'll ask me to come in and lead craft sessions. And actually what's been interesting is I've actually gotten hired to speak at a lot of Christian camping conferences. And so I go there and actually give sessions on how to do kids' crafts.
Wow, that even adults take to then
yep.
learn how to do for kids?
Well, I mean, if you're like a camp counselor or director
right, right.
or someone, yeah.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah.
Now, I assume that you couldn't possibly, but maybe you could, I don't know, but, you know, make all your appointments and arrangements and so on and still be a kid and still go to school and so on. Has your mother been helping you with systematizing this outreach?
You know, I mean, she does great with, obviously, you know, I can't make all my contacts and everything. So, I mean, she does that wonderfully of, you know, she told me set up this interview and, you know, so me, hey, Sandra, you know, you have one at 12 o'clock, so you need to be home by that time. And so, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, I'm not home during the day. I am at school from, like, 6:30 in the morning to, like, 5 at night. So she has to take those calls for me. But, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of it by myself.
Well, you're probably...
And all my books are, like, I do all my books by myself. It's just, yeah, the contacts and stuff that she has to help with.
Yeah, that's wonderful that, you know, you had this creative urge, and it seems like your mother has had exactly the right pacing for you because, like you said, when you first wanted to write, she said to you, write what you know. And that was such an intuitively correct answer to give a kid because you could have tried, you know, to look up something in the encyclopedia or the web or whatever and become totally frustrated and you never would have written anything again.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, that's a great advice for adults as well as teenagers.
Right.
You know, if you're not enjoying what you're doing, if I chose to write a book about cars or something, you know, I wouldn't be able to write that because I wouldn't be interested and I would lose interest and not finish it.
Right. Now, I started in childhood keeping a diary. I don't remember having a longing to, I think, yeah, by the time I was 12, 14, I had this sort of fantasy of the great American novel.
Mm-hmm.
But as a younger kid, I just remember this urge building that I was going to make myself write every day. And when I was given a Girl Scout diary, that kind of did the trick, and I really, really faithfully kept that diary for 3 years, although I have to admit, and I kept this a secret for years, that I was always 3 days behind, you know. So I always had to force myself to kind of remember 3 days ago, but I kept it. And I read in some of your writings that you said something about how important it is to write every day. Tell us a little more about those habits.
Yeah, I think, you know, I try to write every day in journaling and stuff. I think it's sort of it's a skill that you have to keep up and you have to be able to do every day. And also, I don't know, for me, journaling really helps get my thoughts out because I don't take the time to slow down and actually think about things. So it helps me to journal and write about those things. But also, you know, it helps develop, like, if you're doing word choice or that sort of thing, just little skills that you can pick up and you can be like, hey, that's a really good phrase. I'm going to use that in my writing.
That's wonderful. So if a kid's listening that would like to start to write, your advice is to write every day, but I also love your advice, like, to circle things. Maybe I'm saying circle or underline, make bold, do something with interesting words and phrases you find yourself using.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everyone has their own vernacular that they use that's specific to them. And yeah, I say definitely use that. And I think journaling also helps you kind of find your style and your writing style.
Right, right. So how did this lead? Now, it seems to me your last couple of books, particularly the title, excuse me, You Can Change Your World, is that I think that's the one that goes into volunteering?
Yeah, that is. And I actually had one just come out last week that also deals with volunteering.
Okay. I try to get the books, and I will, but I'll have to come back on a later show and mention them firsthand. But anyway, what I'd love to know more about is how can a kid make a difference? Because a lot of kids feel powerless, except maybe with their own peers and, you know, their own inner world, but not to make a difference in the way you're talking about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times kids, when they hear about someone volunteering or making a difference, they hear of, like, these overwhelming stories of kids who are doing amazing things, like, you know, volunteering in Africa or eradicating, I don't know, just, like, doing amazing global things, which is wonderful. And, I mean, like, those kids, you have to commend them because they're doing amazing, amazing things. But what teens and kids have to realize is that those kids started out at a younger level. I mean, I've done a lot of international volunteering myself. But, you know, I started out, my mom would take me to the soup kitchen. And maybe we wouldn't do sort of the glamorous volunteering of, like, helping someone, like, here, like, I'm giving you food. But, you know, we would be back there cleaning toilets when I was, like, 8 years old. So, you know, it starts out at a local level, I think, definitely. And there's so many amazing opportunities. I'm sure that any kid's middle school or high school offers tons of ways that they can volunteer. I mean, right now I know my school is doing a prom dress drive for girls who can't afford to buy new prom dresses. They're also doing a cell phone drive for battered women because 911 works on any phone. So if you have an old phone, you can donate it. So, like, I mean, there are tons of ways to get involved, and maybe you can initiate that. And that's actually what my latest book, 77 Creative Ways to Kids Can Serve, is about. Just those simple volunteer projects that you can get involved with that really do make a difference.
Now, what if you have parents that are pretty indifferent? Let's hope they're not negative, but many parents are not taking their kids to soup kitchens. I mean, they're watching football on Sunday or Thanksgiving morning or whatever, or cooking their own dinner. Again, you have had some very extraordinary opportunities. What if a parent, if the family is totally neutral, give me a few more examples where a kid from, say, 10 years old up can just go forward and still make a difference in the world?
You know, there are tons of ways that kids can volunteer by yourself. And, I mean, my parents have been supportive, but they haven't necessarily, you know, always been. I mean, like, I've done a lot of this stuff by myself. There's a lot of really small volunteer projects that you can do. There's a program called Kids for Kids, and a kid is a baby goat. And it's a really cool program where for $25, you raise $25 by maybe asking friends or family. Because, I mean, you can ask all your teachers, and I'm sure each of them are going to give you at least $2 or $3 each. And if you get enough people, you can raise that $25 and buy a goat for a child in the third world country. And there's just some cool programs out there like that that I write about in my book. That, you know, like that's a tangible, simple thing. That $25 is an obtainable thing even for like an 8-year-old. That you can, or maybe you can ask your parents, hey, are there any extra chores I can do around the house to earn extra money? Things like that. I know a lot of times animal shelters, they need extra newspaper to go underneath it, like where the cats sleep at night and stuff. And so you can just maybe go around your neighborhood and ask, hey, you know, do you guys have any extra newspapers that I can take to the animal shelter? And hopefully your parents would help you take you to the animal shelter or something like that, just to drop those off. So, I mean, there are some simple volunteer projects like that you can do.
And are many of these mentioned in your new book?
Yep, I have. The book is 77 simple volunteer projects that are tangible for kids to do.
Okay, great. So I hope that a lot of kids will be enthused by this and read the book, and teachers and parents, because I consider it really the major aspect of human development is to do positive deeds and positive action. So the more you practice it, the better off we're all going to be. I sent you, Sandra, my book, the girl's version, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything. And I've got you in a sort of by the modern world of communications, you're thousands of miles, but I've got you right here. Tell me some of your feelings and thoughts and how you reacted to reading the book, and if anything stood out for you.
I thought it was really, I guess, as cliche as it sounds, very truthful about kind of the emotions and things that go through a girl's mind. And, I mean, there was lots of things that, I mean, I could sympathize with as an 18-year-old looking back at this 11-year-old writing. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, it's not the same intensity of when I like a boy, I don't fall head over heels for them. But, you know, it's still that sort of feeling. And, yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of things that definitely anyone can relate to that was in the book.
Right, right. Well, I'm hoping that, in particular, moms and girls will get a jumping-off start. For example, whether it's the little girl singing to the hairbrush in her bedroom dancing, and she's afraid the mother's going to yell at her, and then when the mother comes in, you know, the mother starts to dance and sing too, and they end mm-hmm. up hugging and having a good time. But whether that leads to, you know, more of a closeness between mother and daughter, whatever it is, there are many, many subjects that are sort of brought up page by page in the book. Was there any particular subject that stayed with you or you'd like to mention maybe to the audience that might be an important subject that kids go through?
One of the things that I really picked up on the book, I mean, just sort of the subtitle is I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything. And I think, like, that was almost my motto when I was growing up. Because, you know, I'd done some interesting things. I was a pretty confident 11-year-old when I was there. But I think that now looking back, you know, it's really interesting to look back at myself. And I think that's a lot of the similar things in the book of just sort of she has this unbridled self-confidence that I think is so such a good role model for any girl. You know, like, I guess she just goes at anything full force. You know, she was in the school play, and she didn't necessarily have a big part, but, you know, she enjoyed every second of doing it. And I love drama, so that was, like, a really cool thing for me. But I guess her unbridled enthusiasm is such a big thing, I think, for girls that's definitely a big part. And she has such optimism, too, which is something that's extremely important growing up.
Oh, yes. And I don't know if you're aware of any of the female literature, but one of the reasons I intentionally made her quite resilient and, you know, really filled with life and a sense that she could get through and could do everything is that the research often shows that girls 12-ish, a little bit older, start to pull back and they don't do as well academically. Mm-hmm. They get very caught into the adolescent pressures of dating and makeup and, you know, idolizing the starlets and so on, and you can really lose a lot of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. My mom and I actually just finished writing a book, which came out a while ago, on tween-daughter relationships. And I think, like you were saying earlier, so much of this book is a great way for tweens and moms to talk about it, because a lot of times it's kind of a threatening situation for a mom to sit a 12-year-old girl down and be like, so, what's going on in your life? Like, are you having any problems? Are you dealing with anything? And the girl obviously is not going to answer you. But when you have sort of that, you know, you can almost talk about it in the third person of like, hey, mom, this girl was dealing with, like, a self-confidence issue, or she was dealing with liking a boy and him not liking him back. I'm dealing with that, too. Like, how do you, like, I just feel it's a really good jumping-off place for a lot of girls to relate to and not necessarily going to her mom and go, Mom, I'm having boy problems, because that might be a little threatening, especially, like, the first time talking about that.
And I think also a lot of mothers have a lot of great stuff to share, and even, you know, like when my mother would tell me something that happened to her at 11, 12, 14, it was reassuring to me. But sometimes mothers won't bring up stuff unless they feel they can still stay clearly in the mother role. So, mm-hmm. Again, if you have a book like your book, what's the exact title, Tween-Daughter Relationships?
It's actually called 12 Going on 29.
Okay. So your book, 12 Going on 29, or my book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, sounds to me like either book would be a jumping off point where you don't have to go and over reveal yourself to get started in the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And the book my mom and I wrote, it's written to parents specifically, and she gave her opinion on how she thought that it was, like, how she felt that we connected, and then I would write my opinion on what I thought worked and what I thought didn't. So it's coming from an 18-year-old and a mother who's gone through having a tween.
Right.
So I think your book's more the one that the girls would read and talk about with their mother.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So that's great. Well, this time has just flown by so quickly.
I know.
It's amazing. Now, you live on the West Coast. Will you be heading back to school now?
I do, yeah. I have to go back to my statistics class.
Yes, so you're going to go right back into the academic world of your age and well, I'm very, very pleased that you gave me this time, you gave our audience this time to talk about kids, tweens, and teens. And tell our audience how you would like them to find you, anything referencing yourself before I say the last couple of words.
Well, I guess I have my website, which is sondraclark.com, sondraclark.com. All my books are on amazon.com or any bookstore you can get them at, too. So,
well, thank you, Sondra. And again, I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. This is the program Transitioning from Happiness for Women Only to kids, tweens, and teens, and very happy to have had my guest. And please come to my website, enchantedself.com, and I look forward to having you continue with me next week on the series Kids, Tweens, and Teens. Goodbye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. If you would like to hear the interview between Dr. Barbara Holstein and Sandra Clark, please go to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word archives. Click on that. A list of names will appear, Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein's among them. Click on that, and the audio ought to be up within an hour or two. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And tomorrow, Saturday the 15th, Saturday Night Live with Janet Elaine Smith and, of course, Lillian Caldwell from Ireland. Anything that has to do with St. Paddy's Day. Come and join the fun. There's going to be a crock of gold to find, or maybe not. So thank you very much for listening, and before we go, this person from Chopinard had this to say in 1851, chance understands the royal art of making clear to us that all merit is perilous and unavailing against his favor and grace. Thank you all very much for listening. Don't forget, Sunday we also run programming, and on we start all over again on Monday. Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein will be moving to Mondays from 4:30 to 5, so please tune her in. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great weekend, and remember, keep listening.